Lord, a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today, and we ask, O God, that as we come to worship Thee, may we know help from heaven. We pray, Lord, for the power of the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon us, Lord, as we seek to praise Thy name and to glorify Thee. Hear and answer prayer, and be with us now in the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 9, page 178. We're following it in our hymn books. With harps and with viols, there stand a great throng in the presence of Jesus and sing this new song. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's seek for the Lord's blessing and His presence with us. Eternal God and our Father, we do come into Thy presence today. We come into the presence of the One who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We acknowledge, O God, today the greatness and the splendor and the majesty, Lord, of the One to whom we approach unto. We acknowledge, O God, today that we do not come to worship our own God. We do not come, Lord, to worship some God we have made with our own hands or conjured up with our own minds. But, O God, we come today to worship the true, the living God, the One who is from everlasting to everlasting. And we thank Thee, Lord, today that we can say this God is our God. We thank Thee, Lord, that because of Christ we have, Lord, this privilege to draw ourselves into Thy presence, Lord, to come right into the very presence of holiness and majesty today, all because of what Christ has attained and accomplished for us. We We thank the Lord today that we come to Thee because, Lord, Thou hast bid us come. Lord, Thou hast invited us. Lord, You have told us to come to Thee, and Lord, to make our petitions known unto Thee. And, O God, we come to Thee in all of our great need. Lord, we come today because, Lord, we do need Thee. Lord, we need Thee to help us, Lord, as we would seek to worship Thee. Lord, it would be a vain, a fruitless exercise, Lord, today, if we were just to come our own way, to come in our own strength. Lord, we dare not do such. Lord, we come claiming and pleading for the strength of Almighty God. Help us, O God, we pray. Lord, stir our hearts to sing Thy praise. Lord, work in us and work through us today, we pray. We thank the Lord for Your mercies. We thank the Lord for watching over us, for bringing us to the house of the Lord on this Thine own day. We thank the Lord for Your hand that has been upon us throughout this week. And Lord, Your protection and Your goodness and Your kindness toward us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to Thee this morning, Lord, may our hearts be thrilled. Oh God, we pray that we will see the Savior in all of His glory and all of His great power. Oh God, we pray that You'd be pleased to come and, Lord, presence Thyself with us. Lord, we need the help of the Lord as we would glorify Thee, as we would praise Thee. And oh God, we pray that You'll give us help today. We thank the Lord for each one gathered in the house of the Lord. We thank the Lord for all that You've done for us. And we thank the Lord for even the safety in the roads as we've traveled today, for food, for clothes, for shelter, for all of these things. We give Thee thanks. But oh God, we pray that today, Lord, that we will do business with the Lord. Lord, that each one that names the name of Christ today, Lord, that there will be, Lord, that work done in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll come and take us away from the coldness and the barrenness, the emptiness of our lives. And, O God, we pray that You'll be pleased to come and fill us, O God, we pray. Stir our hearts, O God, we ask of Thee. And, Lord, do something new amongst us, we pray. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies at this time, we pray. And, Lord, strengthen them in their mortal frames. And, Lord, that even this Lord's day, Lord, whether it be a hospital ward or their own front room, their own rooms at home, we pray, Lord, that You'll make it a Bethel to their souls, we pray. Remember the going forth of Thy word across our land and across our nation. O God, we pray for that outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for that sound of abundance of rain. O God, come and open the windows of heaven, we pray. And Lord, bless the word of God as it goes forth. We pray, Lord, You'll bless the word that has already gone forth in this house today to the little ones in the Sunday school, to the young people in the Bible class. Bless, Lord, the word that will go forth later over in Redburn. We ask, O God, that You'd be pleased to bless our children. Remember our young people. Lord, keep Your hand upon them for good. Lord, we realize the wicked generation, Lord, that they're bringing, Lord, they're coming up in. Lord, we pray You'd be pleased to keep our young people, keep our children away, Lord, from the things of this old world. And Lord, we pray You'll keep them for Thyself, we pray. And Father, we pray You'll be pleased to bless, Lord, in this community and in this area. We ask, O God, that You'll create an interest, a concern. Lord, where there is no concern, Lord, bring that concern, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see our God at work. Remember, Lord, our upcoming gospel mission in Dundonald, Lord, in just over a week's time. We ask, O God, that You'll bless all the preparations, bless the invitations that have been given out. We ask, O God, that You'll bless those that will yet be given out in the week that lies ahead. We ask, O God, that You'll give us, Lord, opportunities to speak to people. Burden our hearts, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that while this will be a time of the sowing, we ask, O God, it'll be a time of reaping. Precious souls will be saved. And Lord, that Thy kingdom will be extended. And so, our Father, we look to Thee. Bless us, we pray. Stir our hearts, O God, we pray. And Lord, remember the going forth of Thy word across every land and every nation. Remember, Lord, those who are being persecuted for their faith today. Remember, Lord, those who are meeting in secret today because of fear, Lord, of evil and wicked tyrants. O God, we pray that You will be pleased to strengthen Thy people, we pray. And Lord, encourage them. And Lord, overthrow the plans of evil and wicked rulers. So be with us, we pray. O God, we ask, O Lord, that You be pleased to presence Thyself with us, particularly here in Sandown this morning. And O God, we pray that as we leave this place, may the Word of God dwell in our hearts richly, we ask. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a copy of the Word of God this morning. We're turning to the book of Galatians, please. Galatians and the chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We're coming back to our studies that we started some weeks back. I haven't been in the study for some weeks for various reasons. But we're coming back to our study, yet not I, but Christ, and centering our thoughts on the words of verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. But we'll take time to read again from verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, please, and the verse number 11. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me, at this stage, welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in God's house today, and we pray the Lord will bless you all as we meet around the word of the Lord. Good to see William back with us again. Pray the Lord will continue to bless you and be with you. And good to see you all in God's house on this Lord's Day morning. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well today. Can I remind you of the meetings that are before us today and the week that lies ahead in the will of the Lord? We have our Sunday school over in Redburn at 2:30. Remember that, please, in your prayers, that as the children are brought in, that the Lord would be pleased to work in their little hearts and save them, and that the teachers would have the joy of, even this afternoon, bringing the little ones to the Savior. Then we come back for our gospel meeting tonight, 6:30. We'd love to see you back again. And why not invite someone along tonight to the gospel meeting as well? 6:30, we'll be here for that gospel service. And also then, do remember the season of prayer beforehand at 6:00. And if you can, come that little bit earlier and pray for the going forth of the word of God tonight. The Strip family, God willing, will be here to sing. Then also tonight for our young people, there's a youth rally over in the Martyrs. That's at 9:15, and you're welcome to attend that, young people. Then on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to meet for further outreach. Can I thank those who came out on Friday evening? And we appreciate your help and thankful for the ground that we got covered on Friday. But there is much more ground yet to be covered. And so Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, for those who can, we'll meet over in Tullycarnet and get as much of the area covered around there. Meet up just up past the old school, the former primary school there, at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning for further outreach. Then also on Tuesday, here in the church at 8 o'clock, will be our Bible study and prayer meeting. Then we'll have a further season of outreach on Thursday night That's Thursday night at 6:45 again, and we'll be able to confirm the venue on Tuesday night. So remember that, please. If you can't help on Tuesday morning, if you can help us on Thursday night, that would certainly be appreciated. But 6:45 on Thursday evening, and we will confirm exactly where we will meet during the week. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday School and Bible class, 10:15. Morning worship at 11:30. Next Sunday morning, we have a visit from our brother Callum Webster on behalf of the Christian Institute. He will be along in a deputation meeting and to present to us the ongoing work of the Christian Institute. So please do remember that. Looking forward to having our brother with us next Sunday morning. And as it is a deputation meeting, there will be an offering lifted during the meeting to support the work that the Institute does, a very vital work in this age of apostasy and sin. Then we have our gospel meeting, 6:30, and our brother Peter Mander will be along to sing, God willing. And also to remember that both of the services are preceded by the seasons of prayer. Missionary Council offering last week came to £386.80, and thank you for your giving to the Lord's work in the missionary cause. Do remember a gospel mission that starts tomorrow night week through to Friday of that week, Monday the 24th to Friday the 28th. There are invitations available, and if you can take some with you and have them in your person, you can give them out to people as you meet them during the week and invite them along to the gospel mission. It's only 5 nights, Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock in the Orange Hall in Dundonald. And we're grateful again to the Orange men in the Purple Vine Lodge for giving us the use of their hall again this year for our gospel mission. And so I trust that you'll make every effort to join with us and to invite people along to that gospel mission. And please take these invitations with you and use them during the week to invite people along to the meetings. Then, as we've been announcing, our seniors' outing is on Wednesday the 24th of May, leaving the church here at 9 o'clock. Now, there is a list in the recording room, and if you're planning to go, put your name on that list. And also, there's an envelope that Colin and Hazel have left there with your menu unit. If you can return that, take one with you, or take as many as you want with you, and return it with your money and clothes to Colin or Hazel as soon as possible. The cost is £25 per person, and it's a mystery tour, and then your evening meal as well. So, as always, it's a good day, and we're looking forward to that. So if you fall into that age category, the details are there. Put your name on the list in the recording room. Take that envelope with you, fill out your menu choice, and get your menu and your money back to Hazel or Colin as soon as possible. That would be much appreciated. Do remember those who are in need of our prayers. Again, the sick and the shut-ins at this time, do we pray for them? Remember our sister Mary Crean, who is in hospital at this time. We want to remember Mary in prayer that the Lord will touch her and that very soon she'll be able to be back home again. And others as well who are unwell in their own homes, and pray the Lord will touch them and strengthen them. Also remember the offering boxes that are available there as you leave. These are all the announcements, and as always, made subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage. It's Robert Murray McShane's great hymn, When This Passing World Is Done, When Has Sunk Yon Radiant Sun, When I Stand With Christ on High Looking O'er Life's history. Then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. 380, you will know, I'm sure, a little about Murray McShane, a man who was sold out for the Lord, lived and ministered in Dundee, and yet a man who only lived, didn't even reach his 30th birthday, and yet a man who knew what it was to live for the Lord. And how he did that was to realize just all that the Lord had done for him. So we'll stand together as we sing this great hymn, please. There are still copies of the Reverend Parks book, devotional book, available, price £10, 100 days after lockdown. Take one with you, and you can pay Kyle at another stage. We're turning back to Galatians chapter 2 this morning, please. We come back to verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20. And I want us to consider the phrase that we find in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I want us to consider this morning the subject of the indwelt life, or the indwelling of the life of Christ in the life of the child of God. But before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His help, please, in prayer. Let's pray that the Lord would speak to us through His Word this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee again for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee, O God, for its instruction. And we ask, O God, that You would be pleased, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit, to come and reveal Thyself to us today. We ask, O God, that we might know help from heaven, Lord, as we look into the Word of God. Lord, that this Word, Lord, will be, Lord, our joy, our rejoicing. And Lord, it'll be a challenge. Lord, it'll be encouragement to us, we pray. Lord, speak to every child of God. And Lord, as well, speak to those who today are still out of Christ and still far from Thee. O God, we pray that You would be pleased, Lord, to come. And even this Lord's Day morning, save them by Thy grace. And Lord, we pray for help from heaven now as we come to consider Thy Word. Give us help to preach. And Lord, give us help to hear, that everything would be to the glory and to the honor of Thy great name. Just be with us now and pour out Your Spirit upon us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. In our last study some weeks back in the series, we looked at the subject of the child of God dying to sin. We considered how in verse 20 we are crucified with Christ and how that involved our dying to sin and seeking to live to Christ. And it is the second aspect of that work of sanctification that we want to consider today, namely our living for Christ, or the indwelt life, and what it means for the child of God to be indwelt by the life of Christ. And one of the ways, if we consider back to our study a few weeks back as to when we were considering the dying to sin, one of the ways that we can do that, and one of the best ways that we can die to sin, is to remember that we live by the power of Christ within us. The Spirit of God lives within the child of God. That's what Paul is saying there in verse 20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, the secret of overcoming sin in our lives, overcoming the old nature, the secret of living for Christ and witnessing for Christ, is to remember that Christ lives within us. We, the people of God, if you're saved today by the grace of God, you are indwelt by Christ through the Holy Spirit. You see, here's something that is often missed or perhaps misunderstood. That if we're saved today, we're not our own. Your life is not your life, because our lives belong to Christ. He purchased us with His own blood on the cross. And as Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. We are not our own. Rather, the Christian life is a life that is lived for Christ and by Christ, because we are indwelt by the life of Christ. When we considered our dying to sin a few weeks ago, it reminded us that we no longer live as we did. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we die to sin. And the cross, as we saw then, terminated the old life And the result is a new life, but it's not our own life, it is the life of Christ within us. And so we want to consider this indwelt life today. Because the more we think about it and the more we consider it, it really will transform and revolutionize our lives. The first thing I want you to notice here with me as we consider the indwelt life is the mystery. The mystery of the indwelt life. Look at those words again in verse 20. But Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Now there are many mysteries in Scripture. Many things we find hard to understand. Many things we find difficult to come to terms with. But here surely is a mystery so unfathomable, so difficult to get our heads around, that Christ lives in the child of God. If you are saved today, here is a tremendous mystery that Christ lives in me. That the Son of God, by the working of the Spirit of God, would dwell in the child of God. What a mystery. Paul put it in another place, writing to the Colossian church, when he said, Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. As we consider this mystery, notice the operation of it. Remember who Paul is writing to here. When he said, Christ liveth in me, and he's writing, of course, to the church. He's writing to those who have been redeemed and saved from the destruction and from the domination of sin. He's writing to people who were, as we all were, contaminated and corrupted by the old sinful nature. By nature, we were enemies of God. Paul said that there are none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, there's none that doeth good. Oh, so utterly wretched were we by nature. We had no ability to save our lives. We had no ability to transform ourselves. You see, there had to be a divine operation for Christ to live within us. For this transformation to be taken from sin and brought to Christ, there had to be a divine operation. It is not of ourselves. For Christ to dwell within the life of the child of God, it could never happen by our own efforts. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and the verses 14 through to 17, we get some idea of this. Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, it's all by the working of the Spirit of God that we are taken out of sin and brought into Christ, that Christ then lives within us. In verse 17 of Ephesians 3, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By faith. We do not grow into Christianity. It is not a process that takes a period of time. It is an instant operation of the divine working of the Spirit of God within us. When we are taken out of sin and brought into Christ. This mystery of the indwelt life is even greater when we consider it's a divine operation. Whenever we use the terms being born again or born of the Spirit, it means that old life must die in order for the new life to be brought forth. And that can only happen by the operation of the Spirit of God. But as we consider this divine operation, that leads to this mystery of the indwelt life of Christ being in us. It's important to note that the flesh, the old nature can create a semblance of new life. The flesh can create a semblance of new life in Christ. The old flesh, the old devil, of course, is very cute and he's very able to create a newness of life. The flesh can make it look as if someone is saved. The flesh can make it look as if someone has this life of Christ within us. You have just got to consider Judas. And everything seemed to point that Judas Iscariot had this life of Christ within him. Also in the book of Acts, we read of a man, Simon Magnus. He also had this semblance of life, but it was not by the divine operation of the Holy Spirit, because there never had been that point, and there never had been that transformation by the Spirit of God, but the flesh created a semblance, an appearance of it. And folks, that's a very chilling thought. Counterfeit Christians aren't Christians, because they are not regenerated by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Real, true spiritual life is from above. You know the parable of the wheats and the tares. And the two grew up together. And in the visible church of Christ on earth, there are those that appear to belong to God, that appear to have this life of Christ within them, but they are not. You see, today you can have an outward appearance of religion, an outward appearance of religiosity, an outward appearance of Christianity, but if there's never been a time in your life when you've been saved and transformed by the operation of the Holy Spirit within you, you're lost. And it doesn't matter what show you put on. And it doesn't matter how well you look. And it doesn't matter how well you talk. If there has never been the transforming power of the Spirit of God within you, you are lost today. And you do not have this life of Christ within you. The mystery of the indwelt life, the operation of it, it is only by the Spirit of God. But not only the operation of this mystery, but also the revelation of it. The indwelling life of the child of God is revealed at the moment of conversion. You see, what happens whenever a sinner is saved? What happens whenever irresistible grace reaches the sinner in their sin? Well, the Lord reveals Himself to the sinner in a way that they had never seen the Lord before. And the eyes of the blinded sinner are opened, and in Christ they see their only hope and their only Savior. Christian, think back to that moment when you were saved. Think back to that point in your life when the Holy Spirit saved your soul. You remember it. You remember how that Christ was revealed to you in a way you had never seen Him before. You saw Christ in all of His glory, in all of His beauty. You saw the loveliness of Christ. You saw the glory of Christ. But that's not where it stops, because the one who is saved by the grace of God not only has Christ revealed in him in conversion, but also has Christ revealed in him in sanctification, in the ongoing work of the Spirit of God. In other words, people around us see Christ within us. When Paul said, "Christ liveth in me," It should have been evident to others, and of course, when you consider the life of the Apostle Paul, that Christ was living in him. And folks, whenever Christ lives within us, it must be evident to others around us that Christ lives within us. Otherwise, our profession is false and a sham. No true Christian will ever be a stumbling block to others coming to Christ. Now, I know we'll have faults and we'll have failures and we'll let the Lord down. But on a general basis and an overall basis, others should see that Christ lives within us. Otherwise, we don't have Christ within us. Others see a change. Christ is revealed to others through his living within us. And that will only happen the more that we spend time with Christ. That will only happen by spending time with him and by loving him all the more, by Christ being real to us. I wonder today, how real is Christ to your heart? How real is Christ to you today? Are you still lost in the awe and the wonder of the one, as we read in verse 20, who loved you and gave himself for you? Or is your life just a ritual? Just going through motions? Oh, there should be a joy within the heart of the one that is Christ living within us. The story is told of a missionary who labored for some time without any real fruit, and as far as she was concerned, her service was barren. And she went to a meeting one day, and the preacher was speaking on this subject of the indwelling life of Christ. And yet, this dear missionary just couldn't feel it. And so she talked with the preacher after the meeting. And the preacher asked her, was that time whenever Christ entered your life by faith? And she said, yes, of course there was. And then he asked another question. He said, well, is Christ real to you today? In other words, is your faith right up to date? Is Christ real to you today? Oh, yes, he was real to you at the time of your conversion, but is he real to you today? Is your testimony up to date? And that missionary had to say, no, he's not. She had lost the wonder of Christ living within her. And the preacher said to her, go away and get yourself alone and remind yourself of the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of regeneration, but also remind yourself of the miracle of revelation and cry unto the Lord, reveal yourself again to me. In Galatians chapter 1 in the verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, to reveal his Son in me. You see, what she needed and what I believe we all need today is that fresh revelation of Christ. Have we lost the wonder of the new birth? Have we lost the mystery that Christ dwells within us? Is our Christian life just a life of ritual and motions? Oh, may Christ reveal himself afresh to us and change our spiritual lives. There's the mystery of the indwelt life. But I want you to see as well, there is the measure, secondly then, of the indwelt life. Go back to Galatians 2 and 20. Christ liveth in me. In other words, in all of me, Paul is saying. Not just in a little bit of me, not just in a little section of me, but Christ lives in all of me. Now, we've already seen that no person can be truly, genuinely saved only by the regenerating power of the Spirit. But there can be the problem in the life of the Christian that Christ doesn't have all of us. Christ lives in a little bit of us, in a little section of our lives that we want to give to Him, and the rest of our lives, well, we'll just keep it to ourselves. People who are converted, but they're not consecrated. They claim to be committed to the Word, but sadly they're conformed to the world. Indwelt, but not infilled by the Spirit. Still wanting to hold on to the things of this world, still wanting their old ways, still wanting their old pleasures. Not wanting to give their whole life to the Lord. And as I've said in the past, giving your whole life to the Lord, folks, doesn't mean that the Lord's going to call you into full-time service. If He does, praise God for it. But giving your whole life to the Lord means your life is sold out for Him in every aspect of your life and everything you do, that it's about Him. Christ liveth in me. You see, Christ just doesn't want the Sunday you. Christ just doesn't want the part of you that appears as a Christian on a Sunday and then the rest of the week you forget about Him. Christ wants all of you. The Apostle Paul, in order for him to say that Christ lives in me, what did he have to do? He had to renounce his old life. He says, yet not I. There's the problem. There's the problem. I features in the life of very many Christians today. But the life of Christ and the life of I cannot exist together. If one lives, the other must die. It's not what we want to do, it's what He wants me to do. And there are those who profess the name of Christ and they are sadly not filled with the life of Christ. Filled with their own desires, filled with their own wishes, sold out to self, but not sold out to the Savior. Paul said, Christ in me, in all of me. Does Christ have all of your heart today? Does Christ have all of your life today? Does it? F.B. Meyer, teacher and preacher of a bygone day, recounts how that during a period in his ministry, he felt at such a low ebb. Oh, he was busy, he was active in the work, but he felt so spiritually poor that he had nothing more to offer. And one night after a meeting at the Keswick Convention, he went away far from everybody else, and he went alone with God, and he says, God, I must have the best because I cannot keep going on like this. And that night in the quietness after that meeting, F.B. Meyer realized that he had been living his life for God in the power of his own strength, trying to do what he needed to do by himself, and not by the Spirit of God. And that night, F.B. Meyer recounts how that he cried unto God and he got alone before God and he got on his knees before God and he cried unto the Lord to take all of his life He didn't want to hold anything back, because he realized in his holding back part of his life from God, he was going to live and continue in a miserable existence. Child of God, don't hold back from God. Don't hold back from God. We read those words in Ephesians 3 in the verse 16 and the verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that word dwell there in verse 17, it means that he's in residence. Every part of our lives are to be taken up with Christ. Is Christ welcome in every part of our lives? Is it? Or are there certain parts of our life, and as far as the Lord is concerned, there's no entry there. That's for me, and you're not going to get it. You'll never live your life the way the Lord wants you to live, and you'll never live the Christian experience to its fullest expression until we come to that point where Paul said, Christ liveth in me, in all of me. All of me. Does Christ have all of us today? Doesn't he? Or does Christ just have a little bit of you on a Sunday and then that's it? When the children were growing up, they used to listen to Psalter, the singing songbook. Now, I've never heard of Psalter, the singing songbook. It's a great CD and you should listen to it. It's brilliant. But one of the songs that Psalter used to sing, and I can still hear it, was take all of me. Take all of me. In a world that's lost, help me count the cost. Take all of me. Take all you can. Take all you will. Take all of me. Have you said that to the Lord recently? Lord, take all of me. Paul was able to say, Christ liveth in me. That was the measure of this indwelt life. Not just a little bit, but all of it. Does Christ have all of our lives today? Or are you living in God's second best? Just giving to God when it suits, when it's convenient, and when it doesn't interfere with the things that you want to do. Paul says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's the mystery of the indwelt life, the measure of it, but finally there is the mastery of it. Remember our motto text for this year? Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. That's to be our whole Christian experience, life from Christ, life with Christ, life in Christ, and life for Christ. In other words, Christ is to be master of our lives. The word Christ means Messiah. It means the one who is the master of our lives. And folks, whenever Christ is master of our lives, we give him his rightful place, then we will know what it truly means to live our lives for Christ. We can know victory over the sin of our lives. We can know victory over the world. We can know victory when Christ is master of our lives. The American preacher Vance Havner once took a friend on a trip to New York. His friend was from the deep south in America. He didn't have very much. But Vance Havner wanted to show him, wanted to treat him, some of the things in New York City. He took him all around all the sights and all the shops. And after spending a few days in New York City, he turned to his friend and he says, well, what do you think? What do you think of all of this? His friend turned to Vance Havner and he said, I've seen it all. But quite honestly, I haven't seen anything I can't live without. Because you see, he had Christ and that's all he needed.
And when we've got Christ, that's all we need.
When Christ is the master of our lives, we can know victory over the world. We can know victory over sin. We can know victory over the flesh. We can live a satisfied life when Christ is the master of our lives. Did the Lord Himself not say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you"? We always put it the other way around, don't we? We put, as the expression goes, the cart before the horse. We put the other things and then give what's left to Christ. And then we wonder, why is our lives the way it is? Why do I not have contentment? Why do I not have peace? Oh, if only Christ was the master of our lives, all of our lives, then we would really know what it is to live for Christ. We'd really know the peace and the joy that He alone can bring. You see, the truth is that when Christ is the master of our lives, we can face anything and we can deal with anything. The life of Christ within us energizes us, it sanctifies us. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Bible commentator J.B. Phillips said, "I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me." Ready for anything. Christ is all we need. Christ is what we need. Because listen, folks, for your life, Christ is enough. He's enough. In this meeting today, without the Savior, Christ is enough. Christ is what you need. You need to be saved. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to work within you. And for those that are saved, Christ is enough. Enough. The preacher Alan Redpath told the story of a wealthy man in South Africa. He went to buy a Rolls Royce. He took the car out and he took it for a test drive. He checked it all out. He was going to spend a lot of money, and so he wanted to make sure it was going well. But he was very happy with it, and he was just about to part with the money, and he turned to the man who was selling and said, "Well, I forgot to ask you, what is the horsepower of the car?" The man says, "Well, I don't actually know what the horsepower it is, but I'll find that out." And so the man made some inquiries, and the reply came back to him, "Horsepower adequate." In other words, what was in the car was enough for him. And folks, when we have Christ within us, that's enough. That's all we need. Christ is adequate. Christ is enough. Through days of triumph, through days of turmoil, Christ is enough. Through days of trial, through days of sunshine, Christ is enough. Oh, the indwelt life. Do we have that experience today? Do we have the joy, the peace, the contentment that Paul was able to speak about when he said, "But Christ liveth in me"? Is Christ Lord and Master of your life today? Is He your Savior today? Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Not relying on some show or some sham. Have you that real experience of Christ today? If not, then you can, by the power of Christ within you. For those that are saved, may we live in that power and in that reality. Christ liveth in me. Don't hold back from God, but give Him your all, and you will never lose by giving Him all your life. Christ liveth in me. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts today. We ask, O God, that you would be pleased to write that word upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased, Lord, that by thy Holy Spirit and by the working of the Spirit of God, Lord, that you would be pleased to dwell within us and fill our lives. O God, we give our lives over to thee. Forgive us for when we have held back. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we have, Lord, barred thee from certain parts and aspects of our lives and only given thee, Lord, what is left. O God, we pray that we might have that experience as Paul had, Christ living in all of me. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask.